Hi there, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of the Fontaka Junction Real Talk. And I am excited to have you join us on this episode today. With me, I've got my right-hand people, my steadies, the big and strong-chested one, Resheresh, and the delectable Analaika. Hi, guys. What do you do?
Yeah, I'm good. How you doing now? What's popping? What's going on?
Not bad. I'm fresh. I'm good. Our lady in the house.
Hi.
The Leica. guest star appearance, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's fine. I ain't complaining. How's it been though? How's your week? Anything interesting particularly happening?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would say, like, you know, I said I was going to give them a shout, you know. There's this series on Netflix, Ololade. I actually watched it till this morning, like, you know, and it was very interesting, talking about the moral decadence society, you know, and stuff like that. You know, I think guys should go watch it, you know. I'm giving
Ololade,
them free.
Who's producing Ololade, that one?
Yeah, Frank Dunga was there.
Frank Dunga
is actually the lead act. There's Femi Adebayo. I think that's Ogabilo's son.
Great guy.
Yeah. So I mean, it was a lovely movie, and it revealed a lot of things, you know, family dynamics, you know, and all money stuff like that, and all. And I think guys should go. I mean, yeah, they should go watch.
I know the Nollywood movies be popping on Netflix these days. Like
yeah. We've been trying.
I think it was during the week that Funke Akindele's latest project grossed 350 million naira on Netflix last week.
Yeah,
I don't know the movie, but I heard it was.
You didn't see Madame Koi Koi too?
Madame Koi Koi.
Yeah,
nah,
that one too was. I have one of my. I mean, quite a number of my guys there. Yeah, quite a number. This guy was there. What's his name now? Tolu Adebumi. He was the one that did security aid for Ireti Doyle. Ireti Doyle is the proprietress of the school. You know, it was lovely movie too. Yeah. And then this girl too was there. What's her name now? I think she's Madame Kokoi herself. She was the one that played the Madame Kokoi. I've forgotten her name, but she's doing well too. She's been everywhere.
Shout out to our Nollywood people. Nollywood peeps doing good stuff. Yeah. Let's get right into it. And I want to start. I think I'm going to start on a not so happy note. Largely because I've been having conversations with, you know, just colleagues and acquaintances in the week, and it's been kind of sad. There's an ongoing demolition process that the Lagos State government is having, or, you know, carrying out in the Lagos Island. A lot of houses in the Aja Axis and I think it's in Bedji, not sure. Anyways, they've been just bringing them down like bulldozed straight up. The story is that those houses are illegal constructions because they've been built along a canal way and drainage and a route that's been planned for inland drainage purposes, and they currently constitute an environmental hazard being occupied where they currently are. That's the official reason why the government has proceeded on this this current exercise to demolish these houses, right? And at this point, there are like different opinions, right? There are people who say the government is claiming that our properties are illegal constructions. However, I have a permit that I obtained from someone in maybe the Ministry of Lands or whatever, right? I didn't just randomly go in and start building. Someone in the ministry, you know, got payment and gave me a permit. So how is it that the same government can nullify and say this permit or whatever documentation I received is fake and then just go ahead to demolish? Then you have the other camp who are saying, oh, this thing is actually politically motivated in the sense that it's a particular tribe is being targeted, right? All the houses being demolished right now are houses that belong to the Igbos, and it's largely because of what happened as a fallout from the last elections in Lagos State, where you know, some political elite have promised to deal with the Igbos for trying to interfere in Lagos politics. So it's like a witch hunt, right? There are some people who have taken that dimension solution to the argument. The bottom line is people have been left rendered homeless. People have had their life investments ripped down right before their very eyes, and it seems like there's going to be no restitution. And while I don't want to drum up, you know, a potentially tension-filled environment to say,
tribal sentiment,
oh, yes,
right?
this has some tribal coloration to it, what is really busting my head is the fact that some of these people have actually said they got documentation to build in those places. The question is, who in the ministry went ahead to collect money and give these people permits, only for the same government to revoke those permits and say they were not valid in the first place? Who takes the blame for all of these things? And how can Nigerians, how possible is it for Nigerians to even protect themselves from things like this in the future, to get, make sure that they get the right documentation and that they can build their land in peace, not fearing that 20 years from now, some governor can come and tell you that, oh, you didn't follow master plan, we're taking down your house.
Okay, so to me, it's actually a very sad occurrence, but I just even want to take it from the last thing, which is the demolition in itself. I'm actually surprised that this is very rampant in Nigeria, Lagos to be precise. You know, I don't think this is a usual occurrence in other countries, to see persons demolishing places after the completion of a project. It sounds malicious to me, you know, because I feel like they would very much have known when such, you know, such projects started, and they were just like, you know, let's wait for them to build it to the, you know, to the brim, and mm-hmm. Let them complete the housing, let them start living in there before we come in and start bringing. I mean, I don't see them not knowing. It would make more sense if they were just about to start a construction in that area.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, we want to start building this drainage. Now we are just seeing these houses. We didn't know about it. We're coming here to demolish it.
Yeah.
But the idea that there isn't any new projects going on there, no government project going on there, they just happen to, you know, stumble upon these houses and demolish them, really, I have my eye out. I'm giving
Anna, you make
eye.
A great point,
yeah.
Actually. And that is, for me, could probably tilt to why some people think it's politically motivated, actually.
Mm.
And then it just brings me back to a story I saw. So I saw a video on TikTok. Some guy was talking about his father. His father's name was Adeleke, right? He's based in the U.S., grew up in the U.S., and was talking about his father. Apparently, his dad was one of the most foremost legal luminaries in Nigeria. Went on to do very well for himself. At some point, he struck a deal with the government, and he got the allocation of the land, a vast piece of land that was in present-day Lagos Island. At the time, that place was nothing but bush, right? Mm. But he had a vision for what he wanted to build in that area. Like, he had this vision of a modern estate kind of setting that would bring the cream, the lycanium, you know, a new kind of metropolis. And he started developing that structure, right? But somewhere along the line, when people in government, and I mean, being a lawyer, he had a few, you know, friends and foes in government, right? Because he was always, you know, touching, you know, striking certain chords, you know, in big people. So he had a few enemies. And when he started developing that project, and that project started to take shape and a face to it, believe you not, the Lagos State government came for him. They came up with some trumped up charge and said he was never supposed to have been given that land in the first place. He was never entitled to the land in the first place. So they took it from him. He went to a legal battle, right, for many years, trying to reclaim his land. And then he died, right, in the course of all that, you know, legal stuff. Guess where that place is today?
Where?
Today, that place is Banana Island.
Yeah, I know that story.
Like, okay. That is current day Banana Island. And that island now, you don't want to know how many people actually are involved in owning that space. People that we know today are still alive, big men, right? They completely hijacked that project from that guy. The moment, and it just brings to what you said, like, when that place was bare ground, nobody cared about it.
Yeah.
The moment the guy was able to put something that made it look like, oh, this place could be this way, interest spun up, and then the politics came in, and people in government used the authority of government to muscle him out of that place.
But that's actually the way government is everywhere, all over the world. But this particular one, this particular issue of demolishing their houses, because they say they're in the, on the drainage and all, like you said, why was it that it is after the house is built that what's it called, they now suddenly, I mean,
epiphany,
you know, they now realize that, okay, that thing was on the drainage and they have to demolish it. It goes to show the corruption, the depth of corruption that we have in our parastatals, you know, in our public parastatals and all. And at the end of the day, when we always talk about Nigerians being, you know, their own worst, you know, enemies and all, we kind of, it seems maybe we are using the word loosely, you know, because there are government agencies that gives permits to these people that spend their hard-earned money. They will collect, they will rip them to their last dime to give them the permits to build, you know, and then after they are building, after, I mean, even in the process of building, they will still come and check
and settle some,
you know, and then they will settle them and they will collect it. And then these guys now, what's it called? They put them in a very, very bad situation, you know, and all. You know, so for me, the government that is coming to say, okay, they want to demolish the structures and all, they need to ask themselves questions. Who are the people that is, you know, I mean, and they have records for all these things, and you know, the people that gives permits, you will see it in the record.
If rats ate the records.
Yeah, exactly.
Or snakes swallowed.
You know, and that's when you now start seeing, you know, Alausa catch fire, you know, and then all of a sudden, Alausa will just catch fire, you know, and then all those, this thing will, is gone and all. You know, these things are not good. I don't know, Nigerians, we should stop doing this to ourselves. It's very bad.
I think it's abuse of office, and I think it's dereliction of duty, right? Because for people to actually erect a building, and you know, there are agencies like Las Baca, and Lagos State Building, there's La Sepa, there's all these guys who are people who are currently, who are working 30 days a week and they need a salary. Their job is to do surveillance. Their job is to do monitoring. How is it possible that you see a full-on estate? It's not just one house. A full-on estate springs up in an area that is not supposed to be, or is not permitted by maybe the Lagos State Master Plan. And then 8 years down the line, you just suddenly remember that, oh, in the master plan, we're supposed to build drainage here or canal here. And then you go and start pulling out. Do you know what it means to actually pull down structures that have already been built up and furnished? Do you know how much billions are going to the drain by doing that?
Seriously.
That there is nothing about that that speaks social responsibility. And you expect a government to uphold social responsibility to the highest level.
You know what's so funny about it is the fact that I know for a fact that Nigeria, the Nigerian government, makes it so hard for its people to progress. Like, if you're doing something now, they will use that thorn to choke you from the other end. Like, they just suffocate you. You know, you've been able to gather the funds to build a house. We even have housing crisis in Nigeria.
Do you understand?
You have houses, but you choose to demolish furnished houses and make more people homeless.
Homeless, yeah.
Like, I don't care what the master plan is. The truth about it is that master plan is not going into fruition anytime soon. In the next 50 years, I don't even think that one's going to build the drainage. It's most likely some private person who did an estate there that feels like, oh, I need to do the drainage in this area to make this place value go high. And they are the ones who end up going to, you know, build that area. You know, most places, there are some roads that are so bad, but because you have one nice apartment somewhere, they want their place to look more sensible. They will decide, you know what, this is a community project. Let's just, you know, build the roads. Let's refurnish these places because the government is not going to raise a finger to the thing that they're supposed to do. To me, it's actually funny. And then to look at it from the other aspect, I know for a fact that Nigerians can be very negligent sometimes. They can, you know, sometimes want to go through the back door. But I mean, what are the chances that every household now there didn't get the right permits? Like, what are the chances that they just said, like, do you know what it takes to build a house? Like, do you know what it takes to own a land? Do you know how many people you have to settle even after going through the regular process?
Ministry of Lands
So you can't tell me that all of them,
I think the challenge here is developers this is a developer issue, mm-hmm. right?
Is it developer's issue?
Yeah,
it's not developer's issue.
This is full-on estate.
It's not developer's issue.
They are clearing all the houses in full-on estate.
But
and usually...
Full-on estate.
Yes,
just
now.
One person.
Yeah, usually it's the developer houses. That goes on and says, do I have mm-hmm. government consent?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They'll say, I have government gazettes.
Yeah, but
and
you
then
know,
they start selling plots.
You see, the thing with it is...
if they forge the documents, I'm not saying where... persons like, do you know what? Anyway, as a landowner, I understand, because really I've been in places where, okay, family land, you're trying to get a place and then they are omonilers and stuff are trying to sell you one area that is literally along the way where pylons are supposed to be. I don't even know pylons. They are these electricity structures like that.
Okay.
So they are very rampant places like the Ogun State, for instance, and maybe the government has rules that, oh, maybe you're supposed to be 150 meters away from each pylon.
Okay.
But then they decide to sell you one house just underneath that pylon. You know, do you understand? So I get sometimes when they do stuff like that, you get, you're not very, very sure of what you're getting, and then they sell you things that are not supposed to be sold, lands that are not government approved. But I get that. But I'm saying this like an, I don't know, Sha. I'm not seeing it really. I get what you are saying. There's a chance that that could also happen. There's also a chance that they actually thought they were paying for the right documents.
Yeah, but
and then they saw those right documents, because most likely they have to give them those documents.
Yeah, but yes, also the what's it called? The government agencies. Because they are the custodian of the environment, they have to do, you know, all this, you know, I mean, site visits, you know, and all. Because, I mean, stuff don't just happen, you know. They got ears everywhere, you know. If they really want to stop, if they really want to stop those things from going on, they will stop it, you know. So you actually encourage, what's it called, this... I mean, these bad, illegal structures, you encourage it, and then you now come back to beat them again.
Yeah.
You know, why would you want them to spend the money in the first place when you know that you're going to always demolish? It happened, the same thing happened.
I would be surprised if they paid them bribes.
Yeah, of course they do now.
Back.
They do now.
The same people that got the bribes.
They do now.
Are the ones with the tractors ready to demolish the building. I would be surprised.
Do you know that? Do you know that the same thing happened with... what's it called? Some structures around the airport. Some structure around the airport, maybe like 15 years later. And they started to demolish them. They said they've told them before, really. But you told them, and you did not, what's it called, insist on them not building the house. They built the house, and then only for 15 years, 10 years later, you now demolished everything.
No, first, I mean, the government warned you earlier on that you're not permitted to build, and you go ahead to build, then that's on you.
That's on you, definitely.
Yeah, if you have that prior warning, I can't stop
but you know, there's
documentation to prove
there
that
are two
you've
things
been warned.
There are two things to it. The government will say they warned you. There are some places that they say they warned you, only for them to realize that it was maybe Omonile that is fighting over it and all stuff like that, and then the thing is resolved. People that are selling the land, they will tell them like, don't worry, it's our land, we own it. But the government are the one that will save the people that are spending their hard-earned money from spending it, you know, on stuff that is not right. You will make sure that you follow through.
Yeah.
Before they build the house, you will tell them, like, you are not going to build this house because this is not the place that you're supposed to build.
See, do you know the thing is, I have a feeling the way these things are going, it's as if they pay them for the number of houses they demolish. or how expensive the houses are. But I feel like it's part of the quota, because it doesn't really make sense for you to wait for houses to be, you know,
the structures to be erected,
fully,
you know,
furnished,
fully furnished and done, and then you now
for before you wake up one morning and say, you know what, you want to demolish the houses.
It's stupid now. It's very stupid.
I don't see it.
It's very stupid.
It's not nice, really. It isn't. I get that. Even if those people were doing the wrong thing, right? Why don't you curb it
from the beginning when
they were laying the foundation?
From the beginning, you tell them.
There's nothing in this Nigeria that goes unnoticed. Nobody can claim ignorance in Nigerian government. That one is not true. If you think you are doing something somewhere in one corner that somebody knows about it, they've just not had your time yet, or they don't feel like they want to have your time yet, or you are insignificant to them at that point in time. Because it's really crazy and it's very sad. And the idea that it could be discrimination or something.
Tribal.
I don't know yet the composition of the persons who are affected. You know, most times there's one thing you always realize in some certain areas, some tribes most likely are the ones in that sentiment. You know, like maybe in a particular estate, for instance, just happen to have a lot of Igbos in that area. You know, word of mouth, I got this land here, this land is nice, let's buy it, let's build or something like that, you know. So some things like that could happen, and it could be and it may not be. It's I feel like it's a bit premature for me to, you know, I've seen places where Yorubas are also, you know, victims of demolitions too. But I don't know if it's during this season. I haven't really checked.
Okay, well, I agree with you, on that. That's why I also try to follow a cultural approach to some of the sentiments that have been thrown out there. But I will tell you, personally, I know two people that have been affected, and they're Igbos. Online people that are crying so far. I watched a video, an interview that AIT did where they were recording, you know, the victim of these demolitions right on site, and it was largely Igbos that were, you know, I'm like, it would be good to see sample size of what other people have been affected.
I'm not
a set of people who seem to be
I'm not going with that. I'm not going with that narrative. I'm not pushing any agenda.
I'm just telling you what my
I'm not going with that narrative so far.
We had some markets where
I think it was Ladipo.
Alaba now.
Exactly. So
shut down Alaba.
But the thing with it is that
and Alaba is Igbo dominated, if I'm being fair.
Exactly. So for me, I would look at it from the point of the economic activities that goes on around the Igbo, you know, people in the Igbo community, let me just put it that way. You know, they like to do stuff, they like to, you know, buy property, because, you know, I mean, business is just, I mean, is what they do, really, you know. So if stuff like that affected them, it's because still, I mean, they are the ones that like to do all those. You know, have you seen any house buy houses in Lagos?
It's not our thing, to be honest.
They are the ones that does stuff like that.
I don't think it's a thing now. It's more of a Yoruba versus, because you're looking at an area that is prevalently, most likely Yoruba. It's supposed to be a Yoruba dominated place, like Lagos, for instance. And then you are seeing I won't call them marginalized, but you are seeing a set of tribe being, you know.
They're the ones
happening to be the ones who are the victims of these demolition cases, and it's not the first case, it's not the second case. So it's easy for people to jump to that conclusion. But I still feel like Nigerian government is really, to me, I feel like the government in itself, they may have an ulterior motive, and they may just be coming from a place of, you know, what Nigerian government
does. I don't think
so. It's, to me, it's just premature to say.
I don't think so. Also, don't forget that what's it called, the election kind of created a lot of, I mean, because that's what they did, they whipped up tribal sentiments, you know, and all stuff like that, you know. So it is also, I mean, easy for them to just insert that into it again. I'm, like I said, you know, we have bad government administration, I mean, that is ridiculous, you know. I know it's perpetrated and carried out by Nigerians, same Nigerians that were always clamoring for to have good governance and all that and everything. So for me, I'm always going to look at it from the defects in us as Nigerians. I'm not going to look at it from one tribe or no tribe. I mean, some people in the East too that are, I mean, what's it called, that are other tribes, they say stuff like that too, like they can't build, I mean their houses there, they're not giving permits and all stuff. Everybody should just do better, really. Everybody should do better.
Tribally motivated or not, I look on from on the side of the on the part of the government, I think that they can't be feeling proud of themselves. Demolished. I saw some clips. They've got like 5-6 bulldozers pulling houses
down. Someone who is busy sharing Lagos.
There's nothing about that should be making someone who feel like he's working.
But he's busy sharing Lagos money.
There's nothing about that. If I should be covering your eyes in shame.
It actually shows,
right? Inefficiency, ineffectiveness, and gross dereliction of responsibility.
Okay. Now we're saying gross dereliction of responsibility.
No.
When I was saying it before, what did you say?
Government should not be looking at that and thinking they are working. Like you're pulling people's houses down, that they built on drainage. If you were doing your job in the first place, and I mean, it's convenient to want to push it on someone who, some of these properties have been building it in the 8 years ago, 10 years ago, so it might even transcend someone who,
but
it's the fact that as a government, there is a chain of command that goes into any development that happens in Lagos State.
I'm just
there
happy
are
that
loopholes currently that are being allowed to happen, that is allowing developers get access to sites, build houses, and then at some point the government will come and say, oh, this is an illegal structure. You need to plug those loopholes, right? Any illegality from the source, so that you don't come 10 years, 15 years from now, innocent Nigerians are bought into those properties. Yeah. They don't know. And the beautiful thing about it is that because some Lagosians are afraid of Omonile issues and land problems, they now prefer to, they're more comfortable dealing with developers.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
When a developer comes and tells you, ah, see, we've gotten governor consent for this piece, mm-hmm. this plot of land, we have deed of assignment we can give you, we have survey we can give you, you're at ease. You throw out 60 million, 70 million to get a plot and to build, and then 10 years from now, the governor is telling you the land was built on drainage or canal, and then they're just demolishing it. And you are left with hands in pockets wondering, where do I go from here? There's nothing about this demolition activity that should make someone look feel like he's working.
I like where this discussion is going. At least I can say now,
it's
coming to Jesus moments that you're experiencing now. Yeah, I like it because I've said it time and over again. If you look at the resources that Lagos State have, Sanwo-Olu is not supposed to be given any credit whatsoever. You see, we kind of, you know, I mean, our government, they do what they are supposed to do. And then we are clapping for them for what? Especially if they do it, you know, short of expectations, short of what they're supposed to do. We're talking about maybe on the scale of 100%, they are doing 5%. And all of us are saying, no, let's give them credit. Credit for what? Credit for freaking what? What are they doing? They are not doing crap. They're just, I mean, you saw the bill now. You saw the, what's it called, the budget that Doherty, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what's it called, blew the whistle on. You saw what they're doing with the money. So what credit are we going to give to them? It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, then, because like one of the line items we talked about, the 2 billion. I thought I was going to talk about it. The 2 billion for fan, and then fan and fridge for deputy governor. And deputy governor came out and said it's supposed to be 2 million, not 2 billion.
Did he get angry
that the Ministry of Budget they put the wrong number there? And then when those ones too, and now you plan to do it in the PowerPoint presentation that Doherty sent to them line by line, they now adjusted the money to 2 million. Themselves, and we're trying to gaslight the guy by saying this 2 million is for budget of fan blah blah as referred. It's just conveniently remove three zeros from 2 billion to two. They conveniently ignored the fact that it was an error. That the 2 billion it was a clerical error, and they made us feel like as if we were imagining numbers in our head. Why would you do that?
But your guy said it now. He said it like there is a possibility that there are some inconsistencies in those numbers. Your guy is
Sanwo-Olu. Bro, I don't know. I just feel like these guys can do it much better.
They are taking us for a ride, really.
Yeah, and we are looking out really to see what is the fallout of all these activities in terms of compensation and restitution to the affected. And I'm calling out to the governor, Mr. Babajide Sanwo-Olu. I'm not part of the people who are cascading and throwing aspersions at you. I think you are trying, even though you can do better. Some of these people that are victims to these demolitions right now genuinely were not at fault, right? They have been given or sold a false representation that those lands were gotten under the right process with the right documentation. That they are falling into this mess doesn't mean they have to carry this cross alone. We are recommending and we are also asking that we come together as a government and putting something in place for these people. It might be in terms of what they call that in decompensation or in terms of some kind of relocation. Some of these guys have gone homeless at this point because that was their only home and it's been brought to rubbles. Please, let us put something in place to give these guys some bit of respite. And going forward, the government, please, I can't recall the name of that agency, Lasbaka or something, Lagos State Building Control Agency, blah, blah. They should really just stop doing what they do. I know what they do because I have a couple of people who work there. I know what they do. They should stop doing it. They should do their job, right? Focus on ensuring that prevention of contravening the law is what is done. not more reactionary things. Let's not wait until the buildings have come up. Then we'll now start pulling them down. Let's ensure that from the source, we stop illegality and we prevent people from building in areas that are not designated and are not approved. So we can avoid people losing their homes and dying to other attack. I heard that 4 people have actually gotten high blood pressure now.
Isn't it?
So I heard 4 people have gotten high blood pressure, some in the hospital, some have died because their houses have been demolished.
Do you know what it means? Do you know what it means for you to be able to get a landed property in Lagos? And what's
and
it called?
And they'll sell it for 80 million per
plot. Yeah, and only for somebody.
20 million per plot. Bungalows.
Terrace, full terrace.
As in like
duplex.
Yeah, mansions. I mean, just destroying dreams, destroying lives, destroying livelihood, destroying, you know, what's it called? Cutting people's lives short, you know? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
our people are not just numbers. They are humans. Someone will lose life. If he lost it, his family will miss it.
Yeah.
So people, they should not be thinking that their life is more special than anybody else. And you see, that's the thing with, leadership. Leadership is supposed to be empathic, you know. It's supposed to be empathetic with the people's needs, people's plight. Mm. You know, you don't just carry out what's it called. If you're going to do that, you stop it from the from the inception, from the jump. You know, you don't stop it when the thing has been done and everything is Now, you can imagine. They put everything in it.
So far, I haven't seen the Nigerian government show any level of empathy. Not to the poor, maybe some level to the rich. I don't know. But the thing is, I'm surprised. Don't they do class action lawsuits in Nigeria or something? Because I'm feeling like this is the one chance. If these guys actually got their right permits, I think it's the one chance you need to sue the government.
You're getting me riled up already, seriously.
Yeah, I mean that can be an approach.
Because if you're talking about compensation, you'll be surprised when they start giving them $1 million. I don't even think so. That is way beyond what I think they can do. So really, I feel like if you stand your ground and you went through the legal means to get your property,
my dear, you don't know what it means to do legal means with Lagos State government.
Writing up the public on that thing. I know lawsuits in Nigeria can take forever. But to an extent, really, if you don't call them out and if they don't see any repercussions in what they do, and you're not necessarily like, I don't know who they're going to sue, but if you don't even want to sue the government, sue that one person who was the contact in the government, that person that did the settlement, the person whose signature is on the document, make that person an example.
One of the best. Just send them to life imprisonment.
Sure, seriously, one of the best abracadabras you can find in this country is in civil service.
Yeah, of course.
The same person that gave you that permit is the one that will be at the site. It's not that giving permits. And the way they will remove their hand from the matter, you will not even find anybody to even hold. I'm not joking. I'm not joking.
You're like, don't you know me?
Bro, like the same guy that gave you that permit to be the one telling the bulldozer that they should bring it down, and you can't do anything about it. So, these are one of the inefficiencies we're talking about, you know, in terms of how we carry out, you know, civil service and federal and public service in this country. Please help us. We have to go on a quick break. However, when we come back, we're going to be discussing some key interesting topics. One of them being Ola Dibs. Rapper Ola Dibs announced, or we heard he was dead. Then the next day, he came back to life. Some people have said he's Rapada. Others have said he was giving us clues. We'll talk more on that when we come. Right back.
Back at you.
Hi there, beautiful people. It is your host, LA, and I do hope you're enjoying this episode. We'd love to feel your pulse as we discuss trending topics. Connect with us on Twitter at FUNTAQA, that is Funtaka. We're also on Facebook, and that is FUNTAQA, Funtaka. Leave us a comment, give a like, follow us. We are dying to hear from you. Now, let's get back to the concluding part of this episode. Ciao! Hi there, welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. If you are listening to us at the Junction for the first time, and you're enjoying what you're hearing on the show over here, that's what we do at the Junction. We like to chop it up on, you know, social, political, entertainment, sports, you name it, everything that concerns the human being in general. We like to bring it to Junction, chop it up, give our opinions, and hopefully someone important somewhere will hear what we have to say and make the right changes towards building a greater, better world. And if you would like to get more of this content, you can click on the follow button or click on the subscribe button, regardless of wherever you listen to us from, whatever, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon. We are streaming on multiple platforms all over the place. We drop episodes every week, and you'll be getting notifications every time we have a new episode in town. And speaking about the Fontaka Junction community, our very own IJ Richards has just dropped a new project. Guys, trust me, you don't want to miss this one. It's a lovely gospel track. It is called To You. This is IJ Richards' second project, and I took a listen to it and I just loved it. I feel like it was very inspiring and soul lifting in times when people are going through a loss. We are passing inside a loss right now, and I think that good music, you know, with the right message, with the right melody, sometimes can do a whole lot in lifting your spirit. So after this episode, I'm going to encourage you, my guys, my Fontakans, run over to your Apple Music, your iTunes, your Spotify, your Deezer, your Audio Mac. I mean, this song is across all platforms, and download To You, so you can get on that spiritual wavelength, that frequency that takes you close to the Most High and keep you up elevated. Guys,
what's her name again? IJ
Richards.
IJ Richards. Yeah, she's good people. I mean, I was in a conversation, on a audio conversation, you know, some time back, maybe like a year ago. I know she's good people. Yeah, so people should listen to, yeah, like you said, good song, you know, because you know, Pro Max Shaggy, that's been happening to people.
You need music for your life, or you need gospel for your life, or
you need to make you to feel,
climb, jump over a bridge.
Yeah, it's good music. I listen to it as well. It's good song, really. Good song.
Yeah. So we're back to it. Jumping in.
Yeah, let me even, before we go to it, there's something happened in the course of the week. You know, and
hit me.
Yeah, it's talking. I was scrolling through Twitter. X. Formerly Twitter. I was scrolling, and then there is a post that I saw about basketball. There's a basketball competition that is happening in the Port Harcourt. Mm-hmm. I think it was just concluded yesterday. You know, and I think it's. Rovers. I see a PH Rovers Port Harcourt guys. They are the one that won the league. Apparently it's the Nigerian Basketball Premier League, you know, and they were playing a particular song. They were playing, you know, the normal football,
you those, know, band, those instrumental,
you know, stuff like that. So I was like, why are they playing this in an indoor, you know, stuff like that? So I made a comment, so I tweeted that, BB Niger, B-Ball Niger, you know, their handle. Apparently, that the one that handles all the, information and the PR regarding Nigerian basketball, you know.
Yeah.
So I complained, like, why are they doing that? That they should get a DJ and stuff like that and all. And they responded immediately and was like, I know that that's not like, not necessarily like that, you know, because it happens in the US and the college basketball, you have bands, you know, and I'm a basketball freak, so I mm-hmm. know all those stuff. And I was like, okay, I can reason with that, you know. So I responded, you know, in the positive, you know, and then that was it, you know. So before I knew it, I saw a notification, you know, and then it was now a DJ playing Nigerian songs, you mm-hmm. know, at halftime, I think thereabouts, you know. It was cool stuff, and everybody was enjoying, people were singing to it, stuff like that, you know. I was like, yeah, this is cool stuff. So I tweeted, you know, I retweeted it, you know, I quoted the tweet, I tweeted it. I was like, yeah, this is good stuff, you know, this is good stuff that is happening, you know. So I told them I was going to give them a shout, you know. So I mean, I said, okay, tell me more about this, and he gave me a whole lot about Nigerian league that I've always known, you know. And I was like, okay, so somebody's actually following, somebody's actually doing something, you know, about it, you know. And I think it's something that we need to talk about, really.
Yeah.
You know, what the Nigerian league had been, you know, who was fighting what, you know, and where we are at right now. So I just thought, I told them I was going to give them a shout, you know. And
wait, is it the same Nigerian basketball league though?
Yeah.
Like professional basketball?
Yeah, yeah, professional basketball league. Yeah, yeah.
Is that a thing? Is that actually like is that active?
It's supposed to be active, but at some point they had two presidents of Nigerian basketball. And they were operating two different leagues. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The last one that happened, that the successful one that happened, was when Kwese TV was still operating in Nigeria, and Kwese was showing basketball, you know. And I mean, of which I don't give two craps about multi-choice or DSTV, you know. Yeah. Whoever is showing basketball, that's where I go with. So I got a Kwese decoder, I was enjoying it and all, only for Kwese. I think they took the rights from them, maybe because they were not paying. And Kwese was actually sponsoring Nigerian basketball, league. You know, I know the people that won, the team that won, then they gave them 20 million, you know, and then maybe like a 10-man team, you know, talk about their staffs and all. I mean, 30-man team, talk about their staffs and all that. 20 million.
Yeah, that's 20 that million. Isn't a lot.
You can imagine 20 yeah, million.
That's not a lot.
And then we have our senators, 160 million Naira Jeep.
I knew you were going to bring our senators.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, I'm just trying to, for one person. So I'm just trying to give, like an overview of what is going on, you know, within our society, you know, and where we need to be looking. We actually need to put our eyes on. The NBA, for instance, the NBA is an economy on its own. I can, if we're not joking, maybe the NBA is bigger than a lot of countries. The NBA.
Yeah.
Just as the NBA alone, National Basketball Association in America, is bigger than some countries all over the world.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, I think there are some things that we really need to look at, you know, and all. And these are the things that, because everybody's not going to be Sanwo-Olu. Everybody's not going to be Fashola. Everybody's not going to be, you know, I mean, name them, Cardoso, you know. Everybody's not going to be. There are some people that thrive playing sports.
All sports.
Their life is just sports. You can imagine if Jordan never get the opportunity to play basketball. Nobody will know Jordan. And Jordan is biggest, you know, NBA, you know, star, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the history of the NBA and basketball and all, you know, he's a billionaire. I mean, he just sold his team, Charlotte Hornets, just sold them for, I think, $3 billion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just sold the team this season and all, you know. So for me, I think it's something that we need to look at, you know, the thing we need to talk about, you know, and all. And, I'm giving B-Ball Niger, I'm giving you guys a shout. You guys are doing very well. You guys are putting, you know, word out, you know, for what's happening. And I particularly liked, you know, I mean, what is happening in Port Harcourt, you know, and the hall that was built, you know, modest hall, but it was good stuff, was good start, you know. And it shows that some people are actually trying to do, despite the all odds, they're trying to do something about it. Yeah, so I thought too.
And let's even talk about sports in Nigeria. I saw something. I think it was, is it Peter or Paul of P Square?
Yeah.
I think it was Paul P Square. So he did a video.
Okay.
He did a video and it was like, can I remember what he said? I think he said something like, that to our women, if they find out that men are happy this weekend, that it's not because of demo. It's because the Premier League is back. So, you know, we had international break last 2 weeks, right? So there was no European football, but European football kicked off this weekend. And that was interesting to me because a lot of Nigerians probably echoed his opinion, right?
Sentiment, which is,
finally, the Premier League is back. We'll enjoy our weekend. We'll sit back on our couch and we'll just watch, you know, top flight football. And what crossed my mind immediately was, wow, thousands of Nigerians can't wait to watch England show us football.
Thousands of millions of Nigerians.
Millions of Nigerians can't wait. Every weekend, we're just lining up to throw our monies in viewing centers, to multi-choice, to subscribe, so we can sit back and watch the UK or Spain, you know, or Germany give us football. And I'm like, what is stopping Nigeria from packaging good football, good basketball, you know, whatever sports, maybe even lawn tennis, you know, for God's sake, giving us something good that Nigerians can consume, and then all the money we are paying multi-choice and all the money that we are paying at viewing centers so that we can watch Barclays Premier League. Sorry, is it Barclays Premier League?
Yeah,
I don't
Barclays
know what it is now.
League, yeah.
So we can watch the Premier League, or we can watch La Liga, or, you know, why can't we develop something homegrown that we can spend all our money on? And I looked at it and I said, if you look at the Nigerian music scene, what made our music scene so great, whereby we are all messing with Burna Boy, Davido, and all these guys, and we care less about Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift? I mean, they still got their fan base, but really, Nigerians are rocking with our Wizkids, our Fireboys, our Oxlades right now. It was because private guys, you know, decided to put in their money, right? Investments. They took the risk, right, to build our music industry. Sports is a little bit different, right? Because with sports, you don't get the immediate ROI, right? You spend billions trying to set up stadiums. You spend billions trying to, you know, set up broadcasting equipment to broadcast, you know, quality HD pictures. You're not going to get those returns, you know, in 1 year or 2 years, right? So private guys, private investors are a bit reluctant to go in that space. That's where we need our government, right, to look at it as a social responsibility kind of requirement. Set aside good money and fund our sports. I was passing by Teslim Balogun Stadium in Surulere today, and I shook my head. Teslim Balogun is an eyesore today. The National Stadium is an eyesore today. And those are places that were originally built years ago to be the hub of, you know, sports and, you know, attracting, you know, sporting activities in those places. They have not been maintained. Those places are being left derelict. Those infrastructures are decaying. And I'm asking myself, don't we have a Ministry of Sports? Both at state level and at national level, we have commissioners for sports in state level, we have ministry for sports at federal level. What are they doing with the allocations? You know, all these monies that they are stealing and putting in their pockets and flying. I saw Amaju Pinnick to go at the World Cup in 2022. What the hell is Amaju Pinnick doing in VIP box watching France versus Brazil? Nigeria didn't even qualify for the World Cup. You have no business there. The fact that Nigeria didn't qualify is already a mark of failure on our ministry, our sports ministry. You should be coming back home thinking about how to invest in programs that are able to identify the next Messi or the next JJ Okocha or the next one, Kanu. My guy was sitting down in VIP box watching Brazil versus France. Like, is that what we are sending you to do? And then you see all these guys walking around the streets with their head high and their chest puffed, like as if they've done something after occupying senator positions for 4 years, for 8 years, with no results.
And by the way, the cost of him viewing that sport would be in the
budget.
So to me, I'm actually surprised you're calling out the government to provide us entertainment when they've refused and they are barely providing essentials.
No, but it's not even entertainment, because when you look at it, that's human development.
Sports and entertainment together.
It's human development.
Okay, even if it's in entertainment, really, sports.
With its potential to generate massive cash flow.
Under entertainment. Yeah, well, I agree. It is under entertainment, but it is part of, you know, human, you know, livelihood, human dynamics and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know.
Trust me, we haven't gone through the regular basics. We are still asking for yam and corn. You're asking for sports.
I feel you on that one.
We just hope for the best. That's all, really. I'm very sure we have very talented Nigerians in sports. Some are yet to be recognized and some are doing their best, really. The problem is we don't have enough resources, you know, training so many people that make us proud. And the funny thing is, when Nigerians make waves, you're always like, yes, that's my
do you get
yet you provide them peanuts. So, you know, so many of these people, some of them have the resources, the training program. We barely have some. Some of them, they work times twice the work twice. I mean, maybe two times jobs or something like that. They work so much so that they can, you know, so that they can, you know, thrive in sports. They don't have the time. They work overtime. So because obviously they're not going to get their rewards from sports, you know, so they have to maybe do two jobs, or they have to just find a way to squeeze in sports into their regular lifestyle. While for some people, sports is their regular lifestyle, you know. So the thing is, so many people, they don't just, what these people could have done, you know, if they had a necessary program, they are not getting to that peak. They are doing so well, really, even with the peanuts that they are provided. But I feel like they can do so much if the government can just back them up, if the government can give them the necessary resources. It's not after the fact when they are making us proud. That silly government would now be like,
yeah, oh, they want to, they want to take the glory. Yeah, they want to take all the shine.
Can you understand? Like, it's so annoying.
Yeah, I also always think that don't these people have shame? Look at someone like Toby. Is it Toby Amuson now? I think it's Toby Amuson, the Nigerian art criminal.
What are you talking about?
You know,
very shameless.
That lady, they will never support her.
So well, as in, we are so proud. But guess what? There was no support.
It's very funny. This guy had the musical went viral in the course of the week, Mikel Obi, you know, but on another tandem, because he was talking about family dynamics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was at some point he was the one that was paying tickets.
Yeah.
He was paying tickets for hotel bills for the team, for the Nigerian national team.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, Mikolibia.
Not a private.
Yeah. So you can imagine the depth of, I mean, the privity that we have gotten to, really. And then, I mean, you talking about sponsorship, you know, stuff like that and all. Private partnership. How do they come in when you already have two different presidents? Like, I'm talking of the basketball now. Mm. Two different presidents fighting for leadership. You know, so who is the private partnership going to favor in that sense? I know. So when the government is not even involved in trying to set up a very suitable environment for people to be able to say, okay, fine, these are actually the people that I'm putting my weight behind, you know, and all these are the people that I'm supporting, stuff like that, and all. And I mean, it's ridiculous. And that's why, I mean, these guys want to perpetuate themselves in office, because that's the only thing that seems to be thriving for them. That's where they want to make all the money. That's where they want to kill Nigerians, you know, and all. Most of the things that are thriving in this part of the world, in Lagos State, for that matter, are people driven. Are people that are just trying to make something out of their life, not necessarily the government doing anything, you know, and all. So for me, I think it's Nigerians, we need to look inwards.
Even those sites in Ireland that makes Lagos look so prominent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are the people pumping the money?
It's private businesses.
Besides those ones that stole the money to use it.
Yeah, it's private businesses.
But you know the funny thing about it is I just wish Nigeria in itself can, you know there are sometimes where you look at the government or you look at the country in general and you're like, they can't get it all, but at least this sector is thriving sector is thriving. I am here to see one sector thrive in Nigeria. Like, even if you want, like, each government can come in and, you know, say, oh, we are focusing on agriculture. Not that we're going to abandon other projects, but this will be our main focus. We want the agricultural distance, you know, skyrocket and bloom.
Yeah.
You know, this is our projection. We want to hit this, you know. This is what the government will be known for.
Yeah.
Nothing.
The vision is always shifting. Vision 2020, you move it to 2030. After 2030, they move it to 2035.
For 8 years, Buhari was focused on agriculture. Till today, we cannot buy rice. So today we cannot buy Nigerian rice.
It's very sad.
8 years, Buhari was telling neighbors go to the farm, fund the fertilizer, fund this one, do that one, bring this one. We did not see anything. No, it's disheartening, because let's even say that with the fact that the guy closed border and starved us to death, then 8 years later we can see rice, so we can see tomato. If it makes sense, we did not see anyone.
It's quite sad. Yeah. So there isn't any sector thriving currently, not the infrastructure. Structure, not agriculture, not sports, like literally nothing. And it's quite sad. We are failing in all areas, really.
But I mean, we're shouting out to the Nigerian Basketball League. What do you call the league in English?
Nigerian Basketball League.
The Nigerian Basketball League.
Nigerian Basketball Premier League.
Yeah, Nigerian Basketball Premier League. We're proud of what you guys are doing. You're not getting all the support that you need, but let's keep pushing it.
We have
Nigerian talents that don't have the opportunity to fly to Denver or Oklahoma and all that, so and get
drafted. A lot of Nigerian guys are actually in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, but what are the odds? Maybe 1 in 1,000 talented Nigerians.
Quite a number of Nigerians are there. Yeah, exactly. So if we have a thriving league in our own country, they are well paid. They thrive here. We have the numbers. We have Kano Pillars. We have Rivers Hoopers. We have Dodan Barracks. You have a lot of them. A lot of teams. And if Nigerians are actually playing in Nigeria, and they are doing well in Nigeria, they are getting paid. Not giving them ridiculous. I mean that's even embarrassing. You're giving them 20 million after they've played the league fully for 6 months. You're not giving them 20. I'm talking of the 2017 package. And that's also even private driven, and all. It's ridiculous. Seriously, it's ridiculous what's going on in this country.
Nigerians, the resources.
Yeah, shout out to B-Ball Niger.
Very good at it. They would make you proud. That's the reason why when we step our foot into other countries and we're providing resources.
We'll thrive.
We blow people's minds. We'll thrive. We put Nigeria on the map.
Put it on the map.
Yeah.
So it's so sad to see that we have so many promising talents that are not catered to. So I just hope we can do better and we can pump in our resources to, better our economy, really, because the sports economy the sports sector is if we put in the right resources there, we are going to reap the reward bountifully.
I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? You invest in some. Only God will find out where all the money and borrowings that our country they borrow, where they go, because we borrow over 40 trillion in 4 years. Well, CCN is no money. So where is the money going to? Anyways, let's wrap up with this last topic of the day. A young Nigerian rapper going by the name of Oladipupo Oladimeji, popularly known as Ola Dips, apparently died last week.
He killed himself, Ali.
I don't know. He died because on his official social media handle, the management announced the sad passing of Ola Dips. At that point, we all accepted that he was gone. Because once your official handle now, management is saying we regret to announce that so are sadly left. I for one was sad because I kind of knew the nigga, right? Back in your days.
What song did he do?
Right?
He used to be signed to
Reminisce, right? He used to be under Reminisce.
What song
label.
Did he do? Any popular song?
Yo, I think he rapped under these local rappers. Local rappers that Reminisce did. I'm not sure. Did it? Was it featured there? Okay, I'm not sure.
Is it not this guy that did Buga now? No,
Buga is Kiss Daniel.
At the moment, he said Lolo.
Local rapper.
Yeah,
it was one nice track that Reminisce did back in the day. But my point was, Ola Dips was okay. It was kind of nice. I used to rock with some of his tracks back then, right? So I kind of knew him and I felt sad. Finally, that I was dead. I even posted him, and I don't post people when he died. Only for us to find out that it was a prank. My nigga came the next day saying, "Oh, nah, joke. I'm alive." And apparently, it coincided with some new album he was trying to push out, right? And I'm just
it
like,
was a publicity stunt.
Yeah, it was like a publicity stunt. At the time when we're all still reeling from the sad loss of Mubad, and I think some other artists died after Mubad, right? And
what is even the story about the Mubad stuff, really?
Mubad?
Yeah.
What's the story? What's the update?
What's the updates? Yeah, now.
Bro, there's a lot of back and forth on that one. We're here and he got stabbed. We're here and he got poisoned. The coroner has sent, I think his body is now out of the country, and they're trying to get some results as well for that test. But we don't know. That's and Naramali and the other guy, Sam Larry, have been released on administrative bail pending further investigation. So while we're waiting to find out what the outcome of those investigations are, but on Ola Dip's case, that's a very expensive publicity stunt to be making, right? Because your death is not something you really want to be using. That just shows the level of desperation, you know, desperation, yeah, rather, that you get to, that you think using your life as a bargaining chip is what can help you finally blow. You know, I mean, just how far, you know, are people willing to go to blow, for fame, right? And the other part is that some people are saying things like, oh, we are too quick to blame the guy. I saw one very funny comment today. People said, don't you people know this Rapada? That they did the Rapada for him. Now, that's why his mom was saying that they shouldn't take him to hospital because apparently he was sick. And the mom told his friends not to take him to the hospital, that they should bring him home. Right? So some people are saying nigga actually really died, but you know, they went spiritual on him and brought him back. And so it, just because they can't see the full story, you know, doesn't mean that the guy didn't actually die, you know, but you know, and it's not really a publicity stunt, you know, he actually did die. And at this point, I want to ask, has anybody ever heard of what Irakwada is? Like, is that even a thing? If Irakwada was real, why didn't they do that for Mumbad?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you can look at it from two sides. Maybe they needed to falsely announce his departure, because I think there was a comment by the management that was saying he has been battling something for 2 years or something like
that. Yeah, he said he's been battling some illness for 2 years.
Maybe he needed to make a false whatever. Maybe it was just a spiritual something. I really don't know. But the truth about it is, it's very risky for you to make such, you know, because it was actually funny to me when I saw it. They were even giving the exact date and time of his departure. They were like, he died at exactly so.
Do you understand? Like, it was so detailed. Was
dead, blah, 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 and all. I mean, I'm happy to see that he's alive, yeah, but if it's just a prank, and that would be really sad, because I think he said that he wanted to get better right before he made any comments on his life. If it was just a publicity stunt, that's very low, really, very, very low. And if it was that it was a necessity, I mean, who knows what the underlying situation could have been. So
yeah, well, I'm seeing recent pictures of the guy. He's shaved his head completely bald. He's not wearing sutana all the time. You know, he's back with his mom around. He's sleeping with his mom. So I'm thinking that that Rapada team is true. I'm thinking that Rapada team might be.
Something and they were like, one of the requirements is
dead,
blah 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 blah. Who knows? We're in Nigeria.
Anything can happen.
So, reincarnated.
Yeah, I don't know what.
I'm looking forward to him telling us his views, though. Let like really telling his own side of the story, like what really happened. Right,
yeah, if it is publicity stunts, then that's
it hasn't really worked, because cheap, people aren't really streaming
that's
shit.
Cheap
like,
shots.
People are angry with him.
And there's
right?
a like, lot of conspiracy theories now, like, you know, because
publicity,
I mean,
stunts
of it, it
includes the anger.
It does. But if it is publicity stunts,
yeah,
he came out too early. He came back alive too early.
Yeah.
He should have just died for like 3 days.
Do you get enjoy the stream? Yeah, so because guys do the stream.
Because
he
that's
wants.
What they said.
I know
it's
what's
about.
So annoying about these things is a lot of people get their most fame after their death.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but
I
hopefully
mean,
once now that this one has done it, like this, hope somebody is not going to come and pull the same stunts, because once about Nigerians is copycats. They like copying each other.
Well, maybe.
So you just see somebody pronouncing their death again, and then now Nigerians will be so, you know.
But you know, it's not even the first time.
They will catch the bug.
If this person is dead or not.
They will catch the bug. But the thing with it is that if you have to be pronouncing yourself dead to sell your record or to sell your track, maybe you are not talented.
You're probably not that good in the first place.
You are not talented enough. Did you remember this guy?
Oh god damn, yeah, I know the guy.
But
yeah.
I mean, like I say, no be Sherry, you know.
No, but that's a different thing entirely. Like the music game is rough. Like
yeah, or maybe he's a producer now, maybe he's producing people.
The music
like,
game is rough.
Like
not
that.
Blowing doesn't necessarily mean you don't have talents in Nigeria.
Exactly.
Like there's so much that goes into becoming a successful musician in Nigeria that is beyond talent. Talent is good. I mean, look at Charlie Poppy, for example. I mean, goddamn, Charlie Poppy ain't no talented artist.
Charlie Poppy, is he not...
he's popping.
Is he not Ghanaian?
I don't know. No, Charlie he's Benin. He's a Benin boy.
He's a Benin boy.
Yeah, it's an Edo boy.
Okay.
Maybe not Benin, but an Edo boy.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah, so I mean, and I mean, I'm not gonna say Oladipo is not talented, because like I said, I used to roll, listen to his stuff back in the day. He used to be a strictly Yoruba rapper. Now he tries to do English, which I think isn't really strong.
Not suit. It doesn't suit him.
Yeah. Is it purely Yoruba rapper, like good like Yoruba rapper? But you know, again, in Nigeria, going full Yoruba can be you know, like
that. But that's what
can be an hindrance for you.
That's what I actually like about the thing that I shouted out, the Ololade that I shouted out. They actually did Yoruba. They did Yoruba and then...
Oh, the movie?
Yes,
the movie.
They did Yoruba and then they spoke English when they have to, da-da-da. But they were very themselves. They were very themselves and it was good stuff. It was good stuff, really.
Yeah. Good stuff. Mm. I mean, I'm wishing on Oladipo all the best. I hope this album, you know, pops. But really, lying about your death or faking your death, dying the way to go. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. That ain't the way to go.
Yeah.
If it wasn't to sell, what? I mean, the guy's album came out the day he died, so
it could be something else.
And if he actually resurrected, then
if he resurrected, you know, give us the details, man. Maybe we should get on that rapper that parole. we go like get spare life just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case anything happens. Guys, that's as much time as we've got on the show today. We gotta go.
Yeah, just before we go, I wanted to complete my story. And the story is that the Nigerian Premier League, Basketball Premier League, is coming back, you know, and the winner for this year is, I think, they are the Rivers Hoopers, you know, and they've qualified for the BAL competition, the basketball something. It was an NBA initiative trying to encourage African basketball. So okay. The Rivers Hoopers, they are going to represent, you know, Nigeria. In that competition and all. And the Nigerian Premier League is coming back, really. So, encouraging all Nigerians to rally around behind Nigerian basketball, Premier League, and then the sponsors that will come for it, please, you guys should rally around them, you know, to sponsor them. And then the federal government should create an enabling environment for Nigerians to thrive. Nigerians are not asking for too much. Mm-hmm. They're just asking for a conducive environment for them to live, you know, and end their living, you know, and all. Yeah, so I thought to complete that.
Really. Go Rivers Hoopers. Will be rooting for you as you go in to represent the country in international or intercontinental competitions. Guys, we're out of here. We're going to catch you all next week. Till then, stay jiggy. It is Saranoia. Stay banana. Tsukasa.
Yeah, thank you.